Hello, awesome people. Welcome to Embrace the Pivot. I'm Dr. C. Robinson, your host for the show. Join me as we discover what pivoting actually means and how you can embrace your pivot during life's transition. Happy Wednesday, everyone. I hope you are all doing fantastic. Today's episode is about celebrating others. Now, you might be asking, how does this fall into a pivot strategy? It all comes down to building relationships. And one of the best ways you can develop strong, healthy relationships with people in business that you potentially want to work for, work with, collaborate with, is by championing them, by celebrating their wins along with them. Because when you have to celebrate alone, it can get really lonely, like extremely lonely. I'm sure there have been moments in your life when you wish that you just had a tribe of people around you cheering you on no matter what. And even if it didn't work out, they were still there just clapping and rooting for you because they just believe in you and they know that you will eventually find the right path. If you do have those people around you, please be grateful. That is incredible. I hear so many stories of people, they don't have a tribe of those types of people. Every day they have to go up against, oh, you'll never be good enough. Oh, that's not going to work out for you. Oh, why did you want to try that? That gets exhausting. And when you can build a group of people around you that just cheer for you no matter how crazy your idea is, those are the people to hold on to. Today's guest, Melissa Houston, she is a CPA, a fractional CFO. She has a column at Forbes Women, and she is one of my good friends. We met randomly through another mutual friend, and if you've been following along, you've seen that we've hosted workshops together and webinars together to help others navigate their thought leadership space. And Melissa has just launched the Cash Confident book, which is absolutely incredible. It's for all entrepreneurs, especially women, to learn how to get your money right. One, how to develop a money mindset. Two, how to just take charge of your finances as you're trying to start a business. And three, it is about celebrating others. When you see all the hard work that people do and the stuff that they have to go through in order to get where they are, especially if you're an entrepreneur, a new entrepreneur, you know money is half the battle in the entrepreneurial world. So it is just about being there, being present, and knowing that you can do it. And Melissa is here. She is helping others, and she is able to have a larger reach with Cash Confidence. I am so excited for you to hear her story and how she got the courage to go after what she wants. Everyone, please welcome Melissa.
Hey, Cheryl. I am so grateful to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. All right. Today is all about money. And especially in this economy, that's all anyone is thinking about is money. You have had such an eclectic career in the finance industry. So why don't you take us back to what would you say was your biggest career pivot?
Huge career pivot was definitely when I got out of high school. I always, like, even from a very young age, I knew I wanted to be in social work. Out of high school, started my path down social work, worked in social work for I think about 6 years. And then I realized, like, put the brakes on. And was like, if I'm going to stay in this field and have a family, it's just not going to be possible because of the high burnout rate. I'm like, I need to do something different because I want to be available emotionally and physically and you know, all the ways that you can be there for your family. I want to be there. I was like talking with my dad and I'm like, I don't know what to do. And he's like, well, why don't you try accounting? And I said, look it. And that's how it happened. I ended up in an accounting, I was doing my degree in accounting and I decided to pursue my professional designation in accounting and I became an accountant. So that was a total career pivot.
How were you able to adjust your mindset from social work to accounting? Because social work, you're dealing strictly with the people, and then accounting is just strictly, not strictly, but mainly with numbers. So what was that mindset shift for you?
That is such a good question. I've never been asked this question before, but as I thought about it, and I never made this connection, even as at a young age, I always had this insane interest in personal finance. I was reading the personal finance books in high school. I was talking about personal finance with my dad. I was talking about it with my brother, my sister, maybe my mom, you know, like it was just part of our everyday conversation. And it seemed very natural to go into something that was about numbers. Now with accounting, you're definitely dealing with people, but you're dealing with them in a very, very different way. Right. But the clients, that was different because usually I was dealing with small business owners. Money is very emotional for people. And I could see how my social work degree helped me help the clients when they were feeling very emotional about their money, feeling very uncertain about their business, and feeling all the fears. And I was able to talk to them like a human and explain to them what was going on in simple language so that they understood and they could feel better about what's going on in their business. And that's when I knew, when I started my own business, that's exactly what I would be doing.
Wow. So that's really interesting. And I totally agree with you that money is emotional.
Mm.
What is the biggest emotion that comes or attached to money for people?
Self-worth. It all boils down to self-worth. Whether I deal with people, you know, when they first come to me and we start talking, you know, I see a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, overwhelm for sure. But when you get into, you know, you drill deeper into what's going on with the person, it all boils down to self-worth. It's the question of, am I worth being wealthy?
Wow. That's powerful. So what do you tell people? How do you walk them through that?
Yeah. So it's like peeling layers of an onion, right? So, you know, you're talking about the initial feeling and then you go a little deeper. Well, how does that make you feel? It's, you know, very, I mean, I'm definitely not a financial therapist. So if there are some deep rooted issues, I always refer my clients to financial therapists, not money coaches, but financial therapists, because they are trained to deal with the emotional baggage that goes with, you know, whatever it is you're struggling with, right? So as long as it can be conversational and my clients just require little guidance to get going in the right direction, that's how I serve my clients, right? Because I don't claim to be a financial therapist, but a lot of discussions bring deeper, 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 and it all comes down to self-worth, right? And I also have this exercise book that I love sharing with my clients and friends to get them to go through it and start thinking and getting prompted by questions, start thinking about how they feel about money, how they relate to money, how they treat money, the relationship with money. Because once you start realizing this, and you realize the money stories that you've been carrying that are holding you back to be the best business owner that you possibly can be, or the best personal financial manager that you can possibly be, right? Because we're all in charge of managing our personal finances. I don't know anybody who isn't, right? Other than children. You have to have that confidence and control over your finances and to get over that fear and overwhelm and all the emotions that come with it. Sometimes you just need to talk it through.
Yeah. So for you, you became a fractional CFO and you're the first person I ever heard that title for. So we're going to get into that after this question.
Okay.
But what for you, for your personal worth, How were you able to talk to yourself, or how did you talk to yourself when starting your own consulting company?
That is a very loaded question because I had a little bit of a detour myself, right? So what happened with me was because I was so financially aware when I met my husband, that was back when I was like 23 and we got married at 26 and we were always on the same page financially. Over the years, you know, we followed our plan until about 6-7 years ago now, where I completely derailed, went off the financial plan, got caught into emotional spending. At the time, I didn't realize I was emotional spending. I was buying things because it was making me feel better. And then I was going out of control. And as I was spending money, I realized I was spending money I didn't have. I knew it was wrong. I knew I should be sharing this information with my husband. And I chose not to listen to all these warning signs that were going off in my head. I ended up blowing $100,000 worth of credit within a year. And that's not even including this, the extra money on top of the credit that I spent, right? Literally, the only reason I stopped was because I ran out of credit and I had to let my husband know, because we were in a situation where if we didn't move money around, I was just not going to be able to make payments on, you know, the mortgage. Like, it was getting that bad. He was, of course, very disappointed to learn the truth, but that's when I started realizing that was like a pivotal moment, to use your word there, Cheryl. That was the moment where I was like, why did I do this? Like, there must have been a reason. And I wasn't going to settle and just accept it. I wanted to find out why for myself, peeling back the layers. And going through that coaching, I realized that money is emotional. Everything I was doing was tied to self-worth. And all of it was because I was too scared to go into business for myself.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a long answer to your question.
Yeah, no, but thank you for being vulnerable and sharing that story. I appreciate it, because a lot of people go through that, whether it's opening up your own business or thinking you deserve a promotion or raise at work. Everything comes down to that self-confidence, self-worth.
Yes, exactly. It's so true. And, you know, once I realized that that's what was holding me back, I was like, I'm not going to let this hold me back anymore. Propelled me into like action. I was like, I am definitely starting my own business now. I'm doing things that make me happy now. I'm not putting my life on hold because I'm scared.
How did you create a plan to get yourself out of that debt?
Yeah, that's a good question. And the reason why I was so emphasizing the fact that we were always on course at the beginning was because we were on course, you know, we had most of our mortgage covered, and unfortunately we had to refinance the HIPS, right? So we were fortunate enough to have been on a really good, clear financial path to begin with, so that I could absorb that enormous amount of debt with a lower interest rate. In the grand scheme of things, that was the best choice that we could make. But I would never encourage anybody to spend that kind of money and go into that kind of debt, right? And I still, even though the interest rate was lower on that $100K that I owed, I still focus to this day. I'm still paying it off. I still focus and try to pay off as much as I can over the years, because I don't want to carry a mortgage forever, right? So I'm back on track. I know what my triggers are. I know that when I start feeling that urge, that need to overspend, that I have to say, wait a minute, let's figure out what's going on inside. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that it's important for everyone to do.
Yeah.
Because I haven't met anyone who doesn't have a story around money. Everyone does. And it either propels you forward or propels you backwards.
Exactly.
Based on the story. So thank you for sharing that.
And it's funny because like I was mortified at first to come out with this story, right? Because I thought, oh my God, what are my colleagues going to think? Like, I knew better. I should have done better. But the amount of people, finance professionals, that have reached out to let me know that they were so glad to hear my story and they don't feel alone because they had done the same thing, that just made it all worth it to share that story.
Yeah. What lesson do you think you taught your kids through that?
I think that the big lesson that they came out with that was having the personal responsibility. Not saying like, oh, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. I took responsibility for it. And I showed them how to learn from your mistakes. Not let your mistakes define you. Not get caught in that, well, I'm a failure. I'll never succeed. So I might as well just stay down. I got up, brushed myself off, and moved on.
Yeah. What is a fractional CFO?
Such a great question. So, you know, throughout my career, I worked as a controller and a CFO and doing that full time with companies. But a fractional CFO is ideal for smaller businesses where they can hire you, have your financial expertise, your senior experience, having all the guidance and financial advice that they would get from a CFO, but they can hire you on a very part-time basis, a consulting basis, a fractional basis, whatever you want to call it. So the fractional C-suite opportunities are becoming very common these days, and a fractional CFO is one of them.
That's amazing. And for you, you get to work with a whole bunch of different companies, which exactly. is amazing.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. You have a book out called Cash Confident.
I do.
So one, where did that stem from? And two, what do you think is the biggest lesson people will take away from the book?
So the main reason I wanted to write Cash Confident was because I'm very passionate about helping small business owners understand why they need to know their numbers so that they can make more profit in their business, because profit builds wealth. I'm super passionate about that. And it seemed to make a lot of sense to me to have a book because, first of all, the price point is low. Secondly, to get it traditionally published so it's accessible and it's reaching a larger audience than it would, or a larger community than I have, you know, in my own space, right? So being carried in different bookstores and stuff is an advantage. And to your question of what do you think they would take away from it, my hope is that they're going to learn that they are in control of how much money they can make. Right? Because I love to tell people, teach them that because you're a business owner, you are in a unique position to build your wealth. It's not like being an employee. You control how much sales you come in, that come in within reason, but you can decide, you know, you want to be a $100,000 company or $1 million company or even more. You get to decide that. And then when you realize how important it is to manage your numbers so that you're making profit from these sales, you're building your wealth and you own your business. Small business owners usually own their business 100%. So you're building wealth of a business because that's a financial asset, and you're also producing income, which is a financial asset as well, right? So it is an unbelievable opportunity to build wealth for yourself through your business.
If someone came to you stating that they're about to pivot in their career, what would be your biggest piece of advice for them to help that be successful?
Because that's kind of a broad question though, like to pivot where, like specifically, or just a general pivot?
However you want to roll with it.
First of all, I would encourage them, because if you've got this desire in you, that's your intuition telling you something, right? And I knew I wanted to pivot for at least a decade before I did. And that got me in a lot of trouble because I kept stuffing my feelings and ignoring them, right? So having the courage to pivot is such a common word now these days, and people think nothing of it, but it can be very scary.
100%.
Exactly. So my advice to them is really explore it, and you owe it to yourself to give it a try.
Where can my listeners find you on social media?
Social media on LinkedIn and Instagram. I'm at Melissa Houston CPA, and my website is shemeansprofit.com.
Awesome. And your book is available Barnes & Noble, Amazon, right? So I will drop the link for everyone so they can find it easily and purchase it. It's such a great book.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate this.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so excited to see where your next pivot takes you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
You can follow me
Dr. C on Instagram at embracethepivot. I hope all of you embrace your pivot.